The number is 1-877-573-7825. Talking about Thanksgiving conversation. Again, want to stress, you don't have to win. That's my point here is you're opening a window. Don't be afraid to give it a try, to raise some questions. I mean, let's take, for instance, no doubt somebody's going to bring up questions about terrorism or Muslims or Islam, right? Sometimes all you have to ask is, just ask a question like, has anybody ever looked at what the Catechism says about Muslims? You don't even have to have the answer for it. The fact that you raise the question is good enough. But you see what I'm saying? Many places you don't even get that far with conversation. I am not talking about making people uncomfortable. These are not usually the places to do it. People get embarrassed. They feel like you're trying to put something over on them. But you often will hear people say, well, again, Syrian refugees. We ought to do this or we ought to do that. I would say, well, what is your parish doing? Don't you think our parishes should be doing something? You don't even have to then answer except to say, well, I'd like to see us at least consider this. All right, 1-877-573-7825. We've got, looks like Gardenia from Davis, California, joining me. Is that right, Gardenia?
Yes, Gardenia,
I love
just
that
like the
name.
Flower.
Yes, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What can we talk
Thank
about?
Thank you. Well, I'm a college student, and I just wanted to call and say that I'm in support of your proposition to have meaningful conversation on Thanksgiving that kind of transcends everyday topics.
Sure.
As a young person, my family has very unique Thanksgiving traditions, but I'm always thankful for the fact that growing up as a child in my teenage years, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles and extended family that would come for Thanksgiving always made sure to include, younger children in these conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was really nice. It's really nice family time, and I'm looking forward to that. And especially, it's a nice opportunity because there are some, people that will be coming over that I don't think are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice way as a family, and you're right, not to be confrontational, but just to say, this is what we believe, this is how we feel about these things, but it's meaningful. And growing up, I feel like, just having those meaningful conversations with my family, I'm able to do that with my friends. My priorities in life have been shaped by that, but I just want to say it's so important to include the young people in the conversation.
Very good. Very good. I hadn't brought that up, but I agree with you. And especially as we've seen, we now, Sal and I have 11 grandchildren, and they've come along pretty quickly, about one a year, in fact. And we're becoming increasingly aware of how to bring them in to broader conversations. And it's not always easy, but it's good to build it in from the beginning, apparently like your parents very wisely did. Appreciate the call, Gardenia. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
1-877-573-7825, preparing for Thanksgiving conversation. Let's head to Texas. Louise, you're up.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say it real quickly. But adding kids in, I'm a grandmother, and I'm always, when I take my little granddaughter anywhere, I talk about God constantly. When she was little, she'd say, oh, look at the stars, or look at the moon. And I said, well, who do you think made that? So I think you can always add it in somehow,
mm-hmm.
Always talk to kids, and that's what I do all the time.
Well, that's great.
And one of the things I wanted to say, especially lately, I don't know how many, I've been saying the rosary so many times a day, but I am so thankful, and I don't mind saying it, if it comes up in conversation, that the greatest gift that I have and anybody has is the gift God gave of himself.
Mm-hmm.
He made us, but the first thing he did, he gave himself to us.
Yes.
So we have everything because he is the greatest gift. So I am constantly, I don't know how to put it into words, but that is the most wonderful thing, that God of the universe, of the whole world, of everything.
Yes.
He gave himself to me, to little nothing me, and that means everyone.
Yeah.
So, well, I like I said, that's what I'm so thankful for.
Well, it's wonderful hearing from you, Louise, and it's the heart of life is this gift, this self-donation that God himself models for us in the Trinity, where the Father loves the Son, who in returning that love to the Father, we find the Holy Spirit. The love that exists between the members of the triune God overflows into creation. And their love is so intense that they want to share it with others. And that's what creation is about. It's about God giving of himself. And of course, when that gift was rejected, by our original parents, Adam and Eve, well, what did God do? He immediately went to work to try to make it easy once again for the human race to receive him. And he establishes a long history of covenants with us so he can draw ever more closely to us until finally there is the new covenant, the Catholic covenant, the universal covenant, in which God gives himself to us in the flesh. He actually a divine person, God, takes on human flesh. And then that's not even enough, but he gives himself on our behalf by taking on the penalty of sin. He takes the judgment upon himself. And not only that, but then he is raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, and gives forth the Holy Spirit on Pentecost so that he can create his body again on the earth. The whole mystery of salvation history is about the giving of God. From creation, or from his very, in his very nature, he is a giving God, to giving in creation, in redemption. And eventually, of course, God will be all in all, as St. Paul talks about. 1-877-573-7825. But Louise, you had that exactly right. The heart of the whole thing is this gift of himself. By the way, John Paul II's theology is often brought down to this act of giving. The gift is the key word. The theology of the gift. Mary in Lafayette, Louisiana, it's good to have you.
Hi. I was thinking that if you have anyone in the family that's engaged, maybe in addition to or instead of a bachelor or bachelorette party, they could have friends and family spend an hour of adoration for the success of their marriage.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And again, an example of creative Christian thinking. We do not have to adopt the habits and the mores of the culture in which we're raised. We can do something else. I've always thought habits and the rituals that are associated with weddings, some of them are kind of silly, including often these kind of bachelor party things, as though the husband-to-be is going to have his last big fling or something before he gets locked into marriage. I have known friends, by the way, who did exactly what you're talking about. Instead of having the traditional bachelor or bachelorette party, they actually have Bibles. I know one case they had Bible study. Another case, they had praise and worship, and Eucharistic adoration is also part of it. They also have other things that they do. Some of them have game night. Everybody decides for themselves what works within their circle of friends and what expresses the priorities. But it is good to ask your wedding party in particular, leading up to the wedding, to be in prayer and to make sure that they are going to be there bearing witness at your wedding. So, again, we are entering a period in American Catholic history where, as Catholics, we should be rethinking the whole way that America goes about dating, waiting, relating, and mating. I know some people do this through reinvigorating old courtship rules and regulations. I don't want to go into any detail on this, but there's one thing I am absolutely convinced of, and that is if you're going to live consistently as a Christian in today's world, you really do have to rethink America's social rituals. It's parents in particular are the ones who are going to do this. You've got to rethink everything. There's no, young people oftentimes think that they should start dating as soon as they feel the impulse to. Why? Who says that? There's also a big problem in America, in that we expect people to wait to get married until they're often in their mid to late 20s. That puts an enormous amount of pressure on people who begin, they hit puberty younger and younger. And all of a sudden, we're having people get married older and older. Again, Christian communities ought to be thinking about how to do that. Is it such a wise thing to postpone wedding? What about younger people getting married younger? My mom and dad married at ages, 21 and 18. And they've been married now 64 years. So why do we have to go along with the flow of things? You mean we don't have the Spirit of God to think creatively about this? And the expectation should be that we, who have been united to Christ through faith and baptism, are called to live a distinct way of life. This doesn't mean a life of scorning the world around us. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is a life of discerning the possibilities for improving the way of life that we've inherited as American citizens, for instance. All right. Number is 1-877-573-7825. Let me remind you that we have tonight, is it tonight? No, tomorrow, we will be releasing our newest free-range Q&A, which contains a lot of conversation about Thanksgiving conversation and some of the things you can do, again, not to have knockdown, drag-out fights, but to contribute a constructive thought or question here and there.